2 Corinthians chapter 4. God's had his way to this point in the service. Let's see what his word has for us to say tonight. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, when you found your place, go ahead and rise to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's word. Again, you glad to be saved? Say amen. Oh, what a change he has made in my life. Change he's made in James's life, apparently, too. Change that he's made in Jerry's life. Straight on down the line. Thank God for the change our blessed Lord has made in all of our lives. If you're physically able, join me as we honor the public reading of His Word. I want you to notice two verses of Scripture with me. Oh, how the Lord spoke to my heart through this. Notice verse number 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the 16th verse and the 17th verse, for which cause Paul says, "We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us," now notice these words, "far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Isn't that wonderful? Now, I don't want you to turn me off when I give you the title to my message tonight. Some of you may want to shut your ears off. I don't want you to turn me off. If you just stick with me a little while, I think you'll be all right. I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I want to talk to you tonight on this theme, packing on the pounds. Packing on the pounds. Now, Holy Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray that you'd touch your preacher tonight. I ask you one more time to purge me of anything and everything that be in my life that would hinder the Spirit of God from using me tonight and speaking to me and through me. Help us, Lord, to learn from your word, be glorified with all said and done, be with your people tonight. Lord, if there be that man, woman, boy, or girl that is lost in your house, I pray, Father, thy Holy Ghost conviction would be that real. You change that life tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We have a new running joke around our home now. It really all began following our trip that we took back in November. Of course, it was a cruise that our family took with some other family members. One of the reasons that you go on a cruise is for the unlimited, that all-you-can-eat food that is everywhere. I'm talking about it is everywhere. They have food everywhere you turn. It's all kinds of food, and it is usually very good food. By about the third hour of our trip, before our ship even left port, we were already feeling disgustingly full. I mean, we were feeling unfit. We were feeling just as blah as possibly you can imagine. By the third hour of our trip, you can imagine how we were feeling by the third day of the cruise. Also, I mean, it was serious. Because of this, Melissa, her mom, and our girls decided that they were going to go and take advantage of one of the classes, one of the seminars that they were offering on board the ship. They decided to go to a fat-burning seminar on board this particular cruise ship. I didn't feel led of the Lord to go myself. I stayed at the pizzeria and ate a little bit more. Somebody say amen right there. I sure did. I just ate while they went to the fat-burning seminar. I'm told they were having a really good time and they were learning a lot at the fat-burning seminar. And I'm told they were really enjoying themselves until they looked at their watch and they determined that they were going to have to get up and cut their fat-burning seminar short to go and meet me and Eddie at the noon buffet on time. I want you to think about this. They got up and walked out of their fat-burning seminar to go up to the buffet to eat a little bit more. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a true story, is it not? That is a true story. Yeah, the fact is, other than having a health need, that requires somebody from packing on the pounds, and I'm certainly not dismissing that. We all understand that people have those, but other than having a health need that requires that kind of thing, not many people really want to pack on the pounds, do they? Matter of fact, if you think about it really, again, other than that health need, packing on the pounds is not something that is a good long-term plan for anybody to go out and do, whether it be physically, financially, or even emotionally. Whenever it comes to this matter of packing on the pounds physically is not something that we ever really want or need to do in most cases. But when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we clearly find the Apostle Paul teaching us a wonderful truth here, and he is telling us that it is the appropriate thing to do to pack on the pounds. Spiritually is what he is referring to. Some of you are looking at me right now like I'm crazy. You're wondering where I'm going with this, and you're wondering where I'm talking, what I'm talking about. But just hang on right now, because it's in this that we see a wonderful miracle of God. Been a while since we've talked about any miracles. I've only got three left that we're going to talk about. But a miracle is a work wrought by a divine power for a divine purpose, for means beyond the reach of man. And when you think about this matter of packing on the pounds, there's a wonderful miracle that we see that God gives His people. And I want you to notice these three thoughts with me very quickly. Think first of all with me about how there's a renewed strength. There's a renewed strength. In verse number 16, look at what the Scripture says. He says here, "For what cause, for which cause, we faint not." Now the word faint that is used, it is referring to weakness or weariness in the heart for a cause that one is dealing with. But Paul's writing here, but what kind of cause was he referring to? Why was he saying that I'm not going to faint in this cause? Once again, to understand what the Word of God is teaching us, we always have to look back at the clock, the culture, and the context of the Word of God to understand what the Scripture is saying. It's been about 20 plus years in this passage that it was prior that Paul had received the call of God upon his life. The ministry, especially back in Paul's day, was incredibly difficult. It was an exhausting work. We all know, if you study the life of the Apostle Paul, that I tell you, from that moment that Paul got saved, he poured everything he had into the work of God. Oh, God, give us some more Pauls in our day. Guys, it won't be so lazy, but the day they get saved, they just give their whole heart, their whole life to the Lord. Matter of fact, from the moment that Paul got saved, he gave his life to the Lord, and the first seven verses are really referring to what he did for God in chapter number 4 and how that the Lord used him. When we come to verse number 8, we are giving a rare hint, maybe even a glimpse, we could say, into the fact that he was having a difficult time in some ways. Paul was struggling with difficulty. He was having some exhaustion in the ministry, and he was wearing down a bit, and he was carrying this burden. That burden was getting so heavy on him that when we come to verse number 15, he wrote these words. You'll look at it with me, won't you? He says, "For all things are for your sake," underscore that, "for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." You understand what Paul has just said right there? He's saying, though the ministry for me is difficult, though the ministry is exhausting, sometimes the ministry for me is discouraging, Paul is saying, though all of that may be true, understand that I'm doing it for you, Paul says. He says, it is for your sake. I'm doing it for God's people. I'm doing it for lost people to get the gospel to a world that is lost and dying. But above all, he said at the end of the verse, I'm doing it for the glory of God. Everything we do, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be done for the glory of God, just to lift up the Lord. Verse number 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our," look at it, "outward man perish," he says, "though our outward man perish." In other words, outward man in this particular context, it is not referring to the old sinful man of the Apostle Paul before he got saved. The old man, in this context, he is referring actually to his outward body. Paul is making a reference to his struggling physical condition. And we can see the severity of it by the way that he uses that word perish in the text. The word perish that is used here, it is translated corrupt or decay. Corrupt or decay. You see, the relentless 20 plus years of the ministry and the work that Paul had been doing for God, it was beginning to take a serious toll on Paul's body and on Paul's mind as well. It would appear that Paul was about 20 to 25 years old when he began making his climb and his grab for power in the Roman government and the influence that he was having. By the Acts chapter 9 account that he gave his life to the Lord and he was saved, he was a serious big shot in the Roman government. He was said and thought to be a member of the Sanhedrin. So he likely spent about 15 years of his life before his salvation building up that status, working with the Roman government. after his Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 9 conversion. He then served the Lord for about 20 years after that, by the time that he is writing 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. So when we add up all of the math, we can safely say that the Apostle Paul was in his late 50s or his early 60s when this text that we are in 2 Corinthians was being written. Bottom line, it all comes down to this. Paul was physically aging. Paul was physically aging. How many of you know what it feels like to be physically aging? Anybody want to throw your hand up right there? You know a little bit about what it feels like to be physically aging. Getting older, it is difficult and it is discouraging. And there is not one that will ever live, one that has ever been born of woman, that is not going to encounter the difficulty and the discouragement of this. If God tarries His coming, it is coming. When the time comes, we are going to feel all that. Your heart wants to do something for the Lord. And the truth is, the older that you get, the more that you walk with God, the more that you live for the Lord, you want desperately to do more for God. You really do. And your heart wants to do more for the Lord. But the fact is, your body, it just won't let you do it anymore. Your body is wearing out. Your body is just not capable to keep up in ways that it once could keep up. It's just not capable. And this is why that you want to serve the Lord right now. The capable years that you've got, you want to give your life to Christ and give Him the best years. Don't give Him the leftovers of your life. Give Him the best years of your life. The days that you can be faithful to church, do it. The days that you can go out and knock on doors and tell people about Christ, do it. The days that you have the ability to work around the house of God, do it. There's coming a day when your heart's going to want to do it, but the fact will be your body just simply cannot. Paul was flesh and blood, just like you and I are. Paul dealt with the very same things that we deal with. He dealt with the back aches. He dealt with the leg aches. He dealt with all the stress headaches of his life. He dealt with all of these different things surrounding exhaustion and physical struggles that he was having. His exuberant spirit for the things of God that Paul had, it could not hide and it could not slow the fact that his body was breaking down. His body was literally giving out. But it was how the Apostle Paul handled that, which is where we see our miracle of God. God stepped in and gave Paul what he needed to be able to carry on for him during this time, this season of his life. Further in verse number 16, we notice that the Bible says that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I tell you what, that blesses my soul, Brother Charlie, to think that the Bible is telling us, though my outward body's going to wear down, there's something on the inside of me that's going to renew every day. It's going to get brand new. I love the wording, the word renew and what it means. The word is actually speaking to make new or to remake. How many of you know sometimes we just need to have ourselves remade? We've made a mess out of things. Think about what the Scripture is actually telling us right here. He said that He's going to give us what we need as we get older. He's going to give us what we need. Paul had learned to take one day at a time because he knew that each new day that God gave him was going to be a fresh supply of God's new grace to be able to get him through the next day that God gave him to live. I love what Moses said in Deuteronomy 33, the 23rd verse. He says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, what the Lord is telling us in Deuteronomy is He's saying, if I give you one more day to live, I'm going to give it, Sister Jean, the strength for you to live that day the way I want you to live that day. You see, most of us make this mistake. God gives us a day and we want to live that day the way we want to live that day. We're not interested in living it how God wants us to live it. We want to live it our way. And we're disappointed when we can't live it our way. But what He's telling us right here is that if I give you a day to live, I'm going to give you the ability to live it the way that I want you to live it. My grandmother, the lady that raised Dad, she's 98 years old now. She's been in a nursing home for years upon years. Her mind is quickly deteriorating. Most of the time, she doesn't even know who Dad is. She certainly doesn't know who I am when I've seen her or spoken to her. She doesn't even know. Some of you teenagers were with us. Do y'all remember we went to the nursing home in Spartanburg that night and on our way to Asheville to that meeting, and you got to sing to her. What a blessing that was. That's who I'm referring to here. But she doesn't remember anything. The fact of the matter is, she's laying there. She's struggling. It seems like that she's suffering through life. But the truth is, just like Granny, there is a purpose for her life. We don't understand what that purpose is sometimes, but there is a purpose for her life. But God will give her the strength that she needs to live a day the way that she needs to live it for the Lord. If God gives it to you, He's going to do it. Every day He remakes us into what He needs us to be. You see, isn't it true that the curse of sin, all of our bad choices, the influence of this evil world, sometimes it just invades our lives. We foul things up and we just need to be remade. We need a fresh grace to come over our lives. We need a fresh touch to come over our lives. That's what Paul is referring to. Paul's outward body drew daily strength from his inward dwelling of Christ that he had. And his understanding of that is what helped him keep on going on for the Lord when all of these others seemed to be biting the dust out beside him, dropping like flies and weren't able to keep up. Every day that Paul woke up on the inside spiritually, he felt like a little 8-year-old boy ready to go out and conquer a great big world for God all over again for His glory. You see, God designed your life as a Christian to get younger on the inside as your body gets older on the out. Can I say it again? God designed your life as a Christian to get younger on the inside as our body gets older on the outside. What is in here has everything to do with what we can accomplish out here for the Lord. That's why it is so incredibly important that we make sure that what's in here stays right with God. We're living a life that honors God. We're never going to accomplish anything out here unless what's in here is right. As Paul's body was growing older, he was growing younger on the inside. Isn't it glorious to know that our God has given us that very same promise as well? You know that, Joyce? As we get older, as we struggle, as these knees, these backs, these legs, they just hurt us. Sometimes it's hard to crawl out of bed. It's a struggle, isn't it? But just think about that. Even though we're getting older out here, he's saying you can be younger on the inside. Paul was one that round out what this matter of a daily renewal was of the strength that God gave him. But he learned that the only way he's going to do that as he's getting older outside is to pack on the pounds spiritually on the inside. You following me? Say amen. There is a renewed strength that there is, but then there's a reversed scale as well. A reversed scale. Now follow me and you'll understand. As we move into the 17th verse, the Bible says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, if that verse ended right there, there's not one of us in this building that would agree entirely with the statement that the Apostle Paul just made. That word that we see used here, affliction, that word, it is speaking of anguish, burden, persecution, or trouble. There are those that are here tonight. I tell you, you are in a means of anguish in your life over something. You are carrying burdens in your life. Burdens that you never ever thought that you were ever going to have to carry. You didn't know you were ever going to experience anything like this. You are going through persecution and trouble that just seems so much bigger than what you are. It seems like in your flesh, it is just so unfair, and you just disagree with what the Apostle Paul is saying because you're thinking, how dare he say that my burdens are no big deal? They are light, and they only last for a little while. They are not light, they are not easy, and they are not seemingly short. If you've ever had that question, maybe it just entered your mind as I was reading this. Let's break the verse down. Let's study it further so we can try to diagnose our problem and see what the Lord would have us to do further with it. Look further at the 17th verse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, look at this, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What? How is that possible? I wonder tonight, how many of you can look at your afflictions, your burdens, your trouble, your persecution, and can you see glory in it right now? Does it seem lightweight to you? Feels more like a bowling ball than it does a balloon, doesn't it? It's weighing down on top of you right now. You can't see it right now. You can't even imagine it right now. But according to the Word of God, our afflictions are working for us. That battle you're fighting right now, it is an asset to you. That burden you're carrying right now, it is making you better. That struggle that you are having, that trouble that you are dealing with, it is doing some good things in your life. Though we can't see it, and though we cannot understand it, our affliction can be the greatest things that ever happened to us if we will just approach it the right way and learn from what God is trying to teach us through. But how do we do that? This is what Paul is trying to teach us, folks. It is a matter of mindset and measurement. A matter of mindset and measurement. He says further in the 17th verse, he says, "Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." He not only tells us that our affliction is working for us in an exceeding way, which speaks of the value of them, our afflictions, but he also tells us that they are working for us in an eternal way, which speaks of our vindication from them. Listen to me. What he is telling us right here is that there is going to be an exceeding and an eternal reward for those that just stick by the stuff. Those that just see it through. Those that don't cave under the pressure. And they're faithful to the Lord, though there's trouble everywhere. They're faithful to the Lord, though it seems like that the pressure is weighing them down, that they are literally about to collapse under their world. There is a reward that God is going to give us if we're just faithful to stick by and be true to the things of God. I tell you, I've said it many, many times, the greatest desire of my heart is just to be faithful. I just don't have a lot I can offer. I don't. My name is, it's never going to be on the big billboards of life. It's never going to be under the spotlights of this world. I'm not the guy who's the polished speaker that everybody wants to come and hear and talk to and get to know. I don't have the ability to sing. I don't have the ability to do all these. I just don't have all that stuff. But I just want to be faithful. Be faithful to what God has given to me. The word God has trusted me with. Again, don't miss the word light that we see. The word light and the word weight. Because it is in them that we see a reference pertaining to a scale, don't we? Light, weight, packing on the pounds. You following me? Now, we've already discussed that word light. We talked about that. But the word weight, it is making a reference to glory, the glory of God. Both of them are pointing us toward heavy. They're both speaking of heavy. It's a very interesting word study to do. Simply put, the Lord is telling us in verse number 17 that all of our bad stuff is clearly outweighed by all of His good stuff. That's what this whole thing's telling us. You narrow it down right there. All of the bad stuff of our life is outweighed by far by all of His good stuff. Hadn't God just been good to us? I mean, through this pandemic we've been, God's just been good to us. I mean, all the way through life, God's just been good to us. He saved us. He spared us from hell. He's given us a place here to worship in freedom and liberty. Allowed us to be born in a great nation that allows it. God has just been good to us. Paul was saying, he's saying right here on the grand scale of everything, our affliction is light when compared to God's glory by which is heavy. All of our anguish, all of our burden, all of our trouble, it is light when compared to the goodness, the mercy, and the grace of God that He promises to us all the way through it. Our days and our years, they are short when compared to His millennial reign and His eternal kingdom that one day the child of God is going to enjoy. He's saying, I got all this covered for you. There was a time in Paul's early spiritual life when his affliction was bigger and greater and heavier than his adoration for God. There was a time when his conflict was greater and heavier than his cause. There was a time when his gloom was heavier than his glory that he had. But as Paul continued to grow older spiritually, he kept on packing on the pounds physically. He kept on packing on the pounds spiritually. And before long, that scale of flesh to faith began to tip a little bit. It began to reverse itself to where Paul started seeing the things of God far more than he saw the things of this world. That daily renewal did that for him. He came to the point where he just stopped. I mean, it's true of Paul. He just stopped and he said, "Lord, I want to thank you for that imprisonment that I'm in right now. God, I can't see it, but I know that somehow this imprisonment, it's going to work and translate some glory for me. And I just want to thank you in advance. Lord, I don't like this thorn in my flesh right now. I don't like why I'm having to deal with this. I don't understand why I'm having to, but hey, Lord, I just want to thank you for it, because some way, one day, I'm going to see how it's translating to a little bit of glory to God for me. Lord, I don't like this pain right now that I'm experiencing in my back and in my body. Lord, I wish I could get up and do more for you. But oh God, I want to just thank you in advance, because though I can't see it, I know that some way it's going to translate into some glory." You see, the problem that most of us have in our daily lives, our walk with God, is we keep our scale tipped in the wrong direction because we have not packed on the pound spiritually that we need to pack on. All we can see is our affliction. All we can see is our conflict, all of our gloom, instead of His adoration, call, and glory. It's simply because we have not packed on the pound spiritually the way that God wants us to. So as a result, we are spiritually off balance. We are spiritually out of shape. We are spiritually constantly struggling through every aspect of our lives. All of our burdens take place of our Bible. All of our problems take the place of our prayer. All of our challenges take the place of our church attendance. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. The first thing that gets kicked out of the door when the problems of life come is all of those things pertaining to our spiritual growth. Even though we are growing older on the outside, we have not yet learned that we've got to grow younger on the inside. We have got to pack on the pounds spiritually to be able to do things great for God. And so therefore, our scale stays tipped on the wrong side of our spiritual life, and we are always having that uphill battle, that uphill climb, because we've got things in reverse order of what God wants them to be. In Paul's case, it was different. Though his body was getting older on the outside, his spiritual faith was growing younger on the inside. Paul was packing on the pounds of all of the right kind of things. And as a result, it didn't take long before he started realizing, hey, what I'm dealing with, it just ain't no big deal. They are light afflictions. Hey, they're not going to last forever. They're just going to be just a little while longer, and they're going to be all gone. They're light, and they're not going to last forever. And when he got that in his heart, he then began to have a redirected sight. He started to see things clearly. I wonder tonight how many of us truly feel that our scale is tipped the wrong direction. Perhaps you can look back to a time in your life when you know that you've given your heart to Christ. You know that you've been saved. You have no doubts. You have no question in your mind about it. But yet it just seems like it is a constant uphill battle. It is a struggle for you. You cannot seem to keep your head above water spiritually. I'm telling you, dear friend, what that is your scale is tipped in the wrong way. You are overwhelmed with all of the afflictions, all of the conflict, and all of the trouble of your life, all of the gloom of your life, and you've missed the adoration, you've missed the call, and you've missed the glory of what God really wants you to be. Your scale is tipped. I want you to know you can get it back. Just start packing on the pound spiritually. Start snuggling up close to Jesus. Start getting back in this blessed old book. Start getting bruises and calluses on your old knees again. Start getting back in the house of God. God will put your life back together. He will put your home back together. He will put your job back together. He'll put your broken heart back together if we'll just start packing on the pounds for him. That's what Paul did, and he had a redirected side. There was a renewed strength he had, a reverse scale. He reversed it, but that made him start seeing things clearly. A redirected side. Could we move into verse number 18? Verse 18 says right here, "While we look not at the things which are seen." You know, Paul's saying, quit looking at all this stuff. This stuff that just catches your eyes physically. Stop looking at all of that stuff, but look further. But at the things which are not seen. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is something you can't see. Faith is something that you can't necessarily reach out and touch. Faith is something that is real, but we've got to embrace that. These things that are not seen. For the things which are seen, look at it, are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Though it may not seem like it right now, all of this affliction, all of this conflict, all of this gloom, friends, it is light. And it is not going to last forever. They're just going to be for a moment. But all of those other things that we've studied our whole life, all of these other things that we've heard about our whole life, all of these other things that we have seen with our eyes of flesh, they're not going to last forever. It's just a little while. And it's going to be gone. This is what we got to watch for through eyes of faith. Paul started seeing more through eyes of faith than he did through his eyes of flesh by far. When Paul started packing on those pounds spiritually, it redirected his sight. And he started seeing things he could have never imagined. Things through eyes of faith that his eyes of flesh could have never seen. When Paul walked down a street, all he could see was a street of gold. When Paul, in his life, when he felt the poverty of prison, all he could see was a mansion he was going to have one day. When he was in a place where there was nothing but an aching body, all he could think about was a renewed and a brand new body. When he heard music playing, all he could think about was the trump of God and the heavenly band that was playing. When all he could talk about was the grace of God, all he could think about was grace, was Jesus, and pointing other people to him. He spiritually, do you get me? He spiritually, everything ought to be about spiritual things. His spiritual way had tipped the scale so much that he could no longer see the things in eyes of flesh. All he could see was eyes of faith. Though he was having problems, he was soon going to be at peace. Though he was at prison, he was soon going to be promoted. Though he was in pain, he was soon going to be perfect. Though he was in gloom, he was soon going to be in glory. Surely the daily anthem of his life had to be, "Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory, glory for me." Are you starting to see a little bit why now Paul said that they are light afflictions? And they're only going to last for a little while. They are nothing when you compare it, you see, to all of the wonders, all of the glories that are waiting for us on the other side. It is above and beyond anything that our minds can even begin to comprehend. The more Paul grew physically older out here, the more he grew spiritually younger in here, because he packed on the pounds spiritually. When he did, all he could see in his life were things that really mattered. Things he had never seen before. Things that were so, so real. I ask you tonight, what are you seeing in your life? What is it that takes full precedence over your life? The only things that you can see, are they through eyes of flesh? Or are they through eyes of faith? There was a little boy who was looking at the reflection of the moon one night in a pond. Come on, Mickey, you can get ready. Looking at the reflection of the moon in a pond one day. Have you ever done that? Looked at the reflection, maybe in the ocean or maybe in the lake or in a pond. He was looking at the reflection, and one of his older buddies came by and he picked up a stone. And he cast that stone into that pond. The stone caused a ripple, made the moon reflection go away in the pond. The little young fellow that was gazing at the moon in the pond, he got flustered. He got frustrated even. It looked as if the moon was gone. But as soon as that boy got frustrated, the older one that was there, the one that threw the stone into the pond that caused the ripples, he said, "Calm down, buddy. Calm down. Don't worry about it. When you can't see the reflection in the moon in the pond anymore, just look up at the moon. The real thing is far more beautiful than the reflection. If you just look at the moon, you don't have to worry about looking at the reflection in the pond." I think sometimes some of us get so caught up at looking at all of the reflections that we're missing the beauty of the real thing. We're missing the good beauty of our walk that we can have with God. We're missing the wonders that God wants us to have in this life. Oh, the happiness we could find if every one of us would stop looking at the reflection of God and start setting our eyes on the real thing, seeing what God really has for us. Stop living our lives constantly climbing uphill, constantly battling just to keep our head above water, but start locking our eyes on God Himself and striving to know Him more and know Him better day by day. I ask you tonight, how many of you walked in here overwhelmed with the afflictions, overwhelmed with the conflict, overwhelmed with all the gloom of your life, the struggles that you are having and the battles that you are facing? How many of you walked in here to that, to the point that you can no longer see the glorious things of God? All you can see is flesh. All you can see is what this world is showing you. Friends, I'm just trying to tell you what you're dealing with right now is your scale is tipped. You need to pack on some pounds tonight. You need to get rid of all the burdens and get back into the Bible. You need to get rid of all the problems and get back to prayer. You need to just put the challenges on the back burner and get back into the church. God will take any problem that you've got in your life. He will reverse that scale if you'll start looking at the moon instead of the reflection that your eyes are set on right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar of God is open, and there ought to be some people calling out to Him. Rise to your feet in reverence if you would at this moment. Call out to God. Say, "Lord, it's